Welcome to the Space Kid Podcast, where we are bringing the galaxy to your doorstep. And I am especially excited to share this episode of the Space Kid Podcast with you on Mother's Day, because this episode is dedicated to all the amazing mothers who are working so hard to raise families and get us to the place we are now in space, despite being unsung. I'm your host, Ishan, and today I am so excited to introduce you to your co-host,
Shruti Jha.
And not only Shruti Jha, but also my mom. Let's jump right into our topic, Unsung Women in the Agency of Space. As of March 2021, 65 women have flown in space, including cosmonauts, which are basically Russian astronauts, payload specialists, which is a type of astronaut, and space station participants, which are people who have flown on the ISS.
Wow, 65 women. I had no idea. That's amazing, Ishan.
The first woman in space was Russian cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova, who flew on June 16th, 1963.
Really? I had no idea.
The first American woman in space, Sally Ride, flew aboard the space shuttle STS-7, which is like the name of the mission, in the June of 1983.
So the first American woman didn't even get in space until 20 years after the Russians got in space?
Yeah, the Russians were actually very ahead of the US and the Americans until the moon and the Apollo missions.
Wow. That is pretty forward and very amazing.
Yeah. So Valentina was 26 during her flight, and she spent 70 hours in space and orbited the Earth 48 times during the height of her mission.
Wow.
Though an icon of Soviet space exploration, she did not fly in space again, and she did become a test pilot and instructor for other Soviet aerial and space attempts.
Wow, so what rocket did she fly on?
She flew on the Vostok 6 rocket, which is the Russians' early version of their very successful and modern spacecraft, the Soyuz, which takes to ferrying astronauts to the ISS.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm clear here, so this was before... Were they the first ones to even orbit Earth? Was this the first mission to do that?
Unfortunately not. That happened before when the Russian astronaut Yuri Gagarin was the first person in space, and he was a man. And then the first U.S. astronaut in space was Alan Shepard.
So would you say she was the third person and the first woman in space, or were there other people before her who had gone up there?
So John Glenn, I think, went into space before her, but then, yeah, the woman she was the fourth, and Sally Ride was the fifth, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's super amazing.
Yeah. So, after we've talked about that and kind of the start of women in space, I want to move on to four of the main points in our podcast. Katherine Johnson, Mary W. Jackson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Swathi Mohan. They all never actually flew in space, but they have life-changing and groundbreaking roles and NASA, and they have really paved the way for women of color and for all kinds of diversity to make its way into space exploration.
Yeah, you know, no wonder they're the unsung heroes, as you said, because until recently, I sure hadn't heard of these names before. And of course, you know, you hear of your Neil Armstrong and all of the amazing, you know, astronauts who went into space, but often with a lot of these missions, you know, it takes a lot of people on the ground who are maybe, you know, quote unquote, doing unsexy work, but without that work, you know, we would never even make it up into space. And so I'm really excited to hear more about them.
And one last reference before we dive in. You might have heard of the book or the movie Hidden Figures. Three of those people, Dorothy Vaughan, Mary W. Jackson, and Katherine Johnson, were actually hidden figures. And that movie and some of the awards they won, and finally, coming to the present, they've become less unsung and more people are knowing and realizing how much work they did to get us into the point that we are right now in space exploration.
You know, I have to say, Hidden Figures is one of my favorite movies. We just watched it recently, and it brought me to tears. I mean, just the perseverance of these women, the challenges that they had to face, but, you know, they never gave up, and the amazing things that they did, all while playing multiple roles of not just these professionals at NASA, but also of mothers and wives and sisters and daughters. I mean, they're just amazing women, so I can't wait to hear more about them.
Okay, let's start with Katherine Johnson. She was a Black woman, she had three children, and she worked at NASA after teaching for a bit.
Interesting. What was she teaching before NASA?
Math.
Of course, that would make sense.
Yep. So she did like trajectory analysis for Alan Shepard's May 1961 mission on Freedom 7, which is basically some of the math, and she reported and checked the trajectories and like where the mission went to make sure to calculate the landing area of the mission and how long he would orbit and where the rocket would steer him and all of that.
And remind me again, what was the Freedom 7 mission all about?
The Freedom 7 mission was just to catch up with the Russians and get the first American into space.
Okay, so this is, sorry, orbiting Earth or actually?
No, it was just going up and down.
Okay, so she helped with calculating the trajectory of the spacecraft?
Mm-hmm. She went to college. She studied mathematics and French, actually, in the West Virginia State College, which was her hometown, in 1937. So she also played a crucial role in the mission of John Glenn, the first person to orbit the Earth. And one of the key moments in her life was when John Glenn said, when he was about to launch, he was like, there was a new computer that was coming in, like the IBM computers. Mm-hmm. And John Glenn was like, get the girl, Katherine Johnson, to check the numbers. If she says they're good, I'm good to go. If she says they're wrong, check them again. And that was just very meaningful to her because John Glenn was a white man, and he was one of the very few people who actually understood how bad raciality and racial injustice was.
And so he wanted to, you know, he believed in Katherine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty amazing that, you know, her calculations to imagine would likely be more accurate than a computer's, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes to show just how smart and amazing she was.
So, in her view, the most amazing project she had worked on was the project that helped sync the Apollo's lunar module with the Lunar Orbiting Command and Service module. So, that basically means on the moon missions, the Apollo moon missions, the crew module and the command module and service module, which is like the cylinder cone and the cylinder, mm-hmm. the cone and the cylinder that kind of orbited. So it'd usually be docked to the lunar lander on its way to the moon. And once it reaches the moon, it'll start orbiting the moon. And then the lunar lander would detach from it, go down and go up. And she worked on the calculations for doing the trajectory analysis and checking the trajectories, like I said before, for making sure that when the lunar lander came back up, it could dock back with the command module. And those are very hard trajectories because literally if you're one number off, the whole thing could go way off.
Wow. And wait, just tell me again, she did all this by hand, basically?
Yes. No computers.
My God. I just can't even begin to imagine.
And imagine, here, let me help you imagining. Imagine basically trying to get one, blasting off one thing off the moon and having it easily connect with another thing in orbit around the moon with math.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. How do you do that? No idea.
So she also worked on some of the space shuttles and the Earth Resources Technology Satellite, and did 26 research reports, which is like, you know, checking with due diligence.
Wow.
So she retired in 1986 after 33 years at NASA. And at age 97, she added another amazing achievement to her life, which was the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is basically the highest award that can be given to an American civilian.
And so well-deserved, even if it came much late in her life.
Mm-hmm. So she died on February 24th, 2020. It was really sad. And a quote from around that time by the NASA administrator, James Bernstein, said, "Our NASA family is sad to learn the news that Katherine Johnson passed away this morning at 101
wow.
years old. She was an American hero, and her pioneering legacy will never be forgotten."
I completely agree, and I hope that future generations look upon her and learn from her perseverance and grit and how she never gave up.
Mm-hmm. So Katherine Johnson really was amazing, but there are even more women who are making such a big impact on the space administrations and the space agency. Mary W. Jackson. She had two children. She was another black person who worked at NASA. And she was an engineer, and she studied mathematics and physical science at the Hampton Institute in 1942. So Mary W. Jackson actually was one of the first leaders of the West Computing Unit, as it was called, which was a segregated unit for, as they were called at that time, computers.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, computers wore skirts. And those computers were actually women who worked at NASA day and night calculating things for the lunar modules and the French shoot missions and just doing all the work behind the scenes.
Yeah, if I remember correctly from the movie, I mean, these women just kind of almost worked in like a basement or something where they were just tucked away.
Mm-hmm.
No one even really knew they were around, but, you know, they were, like you said, working night and day and putting in a lot of hard work. And I believe Mary Jackson was kind of, you know, leading them without even having the title of being their supervisor, right?
So Mary W. Jackson eventually became an engineer in NASA and worked on a lot of projects, including assessing the wind tunnel and assessing, you know, the basics for the Apollo mission when it re-enters. So just solving all these problems and becoming the first black engineer in NASA and really working hard to do all the work, not calculating the trajectories, but making sure everything was fine on the machinery and on the capsules to be able so that whoever was in them would sustain and live through the flight.
Wow. So did she go on and get her degree kind of at night?
Yeah. So she had to argue a long time, and finally she was able to get in to the engineering after lots of arguing and lots of persevering and just lots of not giving up. She's finally able to get a job as an engineer at NASA.
Got it. And it was because they told her she couldn't get the job
yeah.
because she needed a degree, right?
She needed
and
a degree.
And then she tried to get the degree, but at first, if I remember correctly, she was denied admission at the university that she wanted to get her degree from because it was typically an all-white university.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of had to convince the judge to make an exception to let her in. And I think she did night school while, you know, being a full-time working professional, a full-time mother, and all of that. So it's just amazing to think that she wouldn't let the fact that she didn't have this degree keep her from becoming an engineer at NASA, and didn't give up, got her degree, and then, as you said, went on to become, was she one of the first black engineers?
She was the first.
Yeah, women black engineers.
And actually, recently, she was so significant in the NASA area that NASA named one of their buildings after her.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah, she was the first black engineer at NASA, and she had a pioneering job, and she really worked very hard to get to where she was. She retired from NASA in 1985, and one of her many awards were the Apollo Group Achievement Award, and she was named Lang Lear NASA's Volunteer of the Year in 1976.
Amazing.
So Dorothy Vaughan had 6 children.
Oh my God.
She was black, and she went to Wilberforce University. She was the head of the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, NACA, and that was NASA's previous name. It later converted to NASA, but it used to be NACA. So she was the head of the Segregated West Area Computing Unit from 1949 until 1958. And she came to NASA, or NACA, during the climax of World War II to try to get a, you know, job during the war, mm-hmm. after being a teacher and teaching math. So she was the leader of that West Computing Unit, and she actually played a crucial war in getting the first computers working.
Oh, right. I remember in the movie where, you know, they brought in these giant computers, mm-hmm. and nobody could figure out how to actually get them to work. And yeah. she kind of just fiddled with it and, you know, knew what she was doing and, you know, instantly was able to get them working, right?
Mm-hmm. So she played a crucial war in helping women and black people and people of, you know, all different types of gender and sex and race to be able to become administrators and to be able to become leaders in the Institute like she was for the West Computing Unit. So she really had a great role for people who wanted to be in the lead and people who wanted to be the center point of big projects like the Apollo project and like the Friendship projects. She was the center of that. She was the manager of all the computers, mm-hmm. and she was the person who was behind everything, because if I'm correct on this, actually the actual manager wasn't coming, and nobody even knew that she was managing the whole unit, mm-hmm. for a long time until they realized her skill with turning on the computer and doing so much hard work while nobody was noticing.
Well, right. I mean, I think it was more than even just like being able to turn on the computer, right? I think she like learned the computing language, right? I believe that she taught herself and her staff the programming language of Fortran, which is so ancient now, it feels, with all of the other new programming languages that we have now. But back in the day, it was, you know, not very many people knew that computing language, and the fact that she just, you know, taught it to herself, and she was smart enough to know that that was the way of the future. And so she also made sure that her staff learned it so that they didn't become obsolete, and they they could continue being hired by NASA for their skills.
Yeah, so she played a crucial role for a lot of people, and like I said again, just for leadership. And so they all had, you know, different areas that they trailblazed. Katherine Johnson in the math area and in the area for just easily becoming noticed no matter who you are and easily becoming a big part and just a noticeable part in any part of the space agency. Because at that time, a lot of people who weren't, you know, white men did not, nobody even knew what they were doing because it was just kept so secret. Mary W. Jackson, she paved the way for other engineers and other women and other just people to be able to easily get into the engineering area. And I mean easily by saying, not easily, of course, in that you can just say, hey, I want to get into engineering area, but a lot more easier than she had to work. Because going to night school, getting a degree, arguing with the judge for days, she just made the lives of so many aspiring engineers just so much more worry-free of, you know, being this and that, or like being, hey, you can't work on this project because you're not black.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think we all know that, you know, discrimination still very much exists today. Mm-hmm. But I agree that, you know, we have come still a long ways from back in the day where it was so much more obvious and so much more discriminatory. And I think these women, I mean, let alone the fact, I think the racial discrimination, there was also gender. So, I mean, they kind of had two strikes against them, you know? And so I think they did really pave the way for women and women of color in particular. And for that, we are all very grateful. I mean, as a woman of color in the professional world, I know that, you know, I benefit from all of the hard work of the women before me who have fought for equal rights.
So moving on to our last person, Swathi Mohan, she actually is doing her job and is making an influence and has been making an influence very recently. She was born in Bengaluru, Karnataka, India, and she immigrated to the United States when she was only 1 year old. And she became interested in space when she saw Star Trek at age 9. She has two daughters, and she works at the NASA Jet Propulsion Lab, which works on all of the rovers and all of the actual spacecrafts that stay in space and do the work there. She led the Mars Perseverance Entry Descent Landing Team and really was amazing at such a hard feat to do because if you want to land a rover on Mars, there's a maneuver that they use called the sky crane maneuver, which is just so hard to do, and she mastered that.
Wow.
And she led the mastering of that.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
And she's Indian. She went to University of Cornell and MIT for her education, and she actually previously worked on the Cassini mission to Saturn, which was a very exciting mission and had completed a lot of firsts and even carried a European probe on it that explored one of Saturn's moons. And GRAIL, a pair of small spacecraft which mapped the gravitational field of the moon and did science there.
That's amazing. You know, I remember watching Perseverance and just being able to see a woman of your same background up there in control, directing kind of the entire show was just a very proud moment for me, myself. And as I looked upon, you know, my own daughter and son to know that they can see themselves in these positions and know that, you know, they can accomplish anything that they want if they set their mind to it, was just truly a moment that I will always remember.
So these are some amazing women, and the biggest part of it all is they're doing all this work while supporting their own families. and while taking care of their life and being there for their children and just doing so much work for both sides of the equation. It's amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as a, you know, mother, I hope that I'm able to role model that for you and Kaya to show that, you know, you can really, again, do anything that you set your mind to. Don't let anybody say no. And that, you know, you can have multiple roles in your life, be it that of a parent, you know, a partner, a daughter, a wife, whatever that may be, and that you can excel at all of them if you just put your heart to each of those.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to wrap up our, what is it, fifth episode of the Space Good Podcast. We've come so far. We thank you so much for listening. And truly, from our hearts to yours, happy Mother's Day. And I thank you for listening again.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Thank you, Mom, for joining me.
I love you.
Love you, too. This is Space Kid Ishan signing off from my galaxy to yours.